You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yo. Yo, what's going on? There's a new host in town. Yeah, no more of that Mariah Houdini double denim shit. Rest in piss, comb over. It's a new sheriff of town. Of course, you're listening to the great Touchline Fracas. I am here with two of my favourite people, although I argue them every day in a group chat. To my left, I've got European champion who thinks he played in the game himself.
I did.
Mr. Meads.
You know the verbs. I did.
Yeah, of course, and then I've got Britain's very own, you know.
Stella
Sebi.
You know.
Brexit Seb.
You know, where's it coming? Is it coming home?
It's coming home, man. All it's coming home.
Okay, of course, some housekeeping. That's what Lewis and Mariah says. Is that a penalty? Nah. Obviously, we're watching the European Championship live, but make sure you're using the hashtag. You lot weren't hashtagging last week. I don't like that. So make sure you're hashtagging your favorite bits. Who do you think was the star of the show? Whatever opinion you have. If we're jazzing, let us know. YouTube, make sure you subscribe. We ain't got enough subscribers, then we've got bare listeners. So subscribe to the YouTube. That's Touchdown Frackers. You've got all the shows there, as well as other media parts of Touchdown Frackers. And of course, we have to give a shout out to our sponsors, Fanslide. This podcast is brought to you by Fanslide. And Seb, talk to me about Fanslide.
Listen, you see, Fanslide, it's funny because me, I'm somebody that don't like new things. But like, in the season when Dan came to me about Fanslide or whatnot, seemed quite interesting. But it was a very interesting concept. And then finally, like, I started to get into it and I realized, yeah, this app, yeah, it's definitely a sick app. It's like, I think it's like you can play. I'm sounding like that guy fucking, you know that guy from Love Island? You know Ched? Yeah. You know when Ched is doing that ad? Yeah, and then, you know, the training and
yeah.
That.
Like, yeah,
this
super.
Is generally not even an ad, yeah. Yeah, superb. Generally not even an ad, yeah, but it's the first in-play fantasy football game, like, update in real time with live Optostats. And, like, you know, you can win money on it. You can win 3 Ps. You can just kind of play against your friends.
I think
so like, even when it during the season or whatnot, like the way how the app works, it's like, for example, you'll put on a player for like a certain amount of time in the game, and it's up to that player to get like the most stats. So whether it's tackles for defenders, whether it's goals, but they only have like 20 minutes or so, or something like that. But no, I really enjoyed it in the season. You know, for the Euros, they're giving away a lot of money. I think it's about £10,000.
10 bags.
Oh, 10 bags.
10 bags. 10 bags.
It's getting closer to my Sky Dollar blood.
Listen, sir. I'm definitely going to be on there. I need to win that 10K. Because I ain't going to lie, but I need to win that 10K. So it's coming on. And then also, it's like, it makes things competitive. Like today, we had a game, Austria versus Macarena. Do you know what I mean? Fam. Like, nobody was really watching that game. But if you're like paying the fan slide, it makes it competitive. I'm trying to say, because you're trying to win.
Yeah.
So it makes like neutral games more.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to jump on Fanslide just because I actually want to watch all these games for Touchline's sake, and I need some motivation. So a young Fanslide won't go amiss. So
I'm only on Fanslide just to win the money. I can't lie.
I need the money.
Yeah,
it's entertaining, but I do need the money. Yeah. Money's a bonus.
Yeah,
I'm here for the cash.
Yeah, we need to feed families. So, gentlemen, both of you do support England.
Slightly, yeah.
I do, depending on what mood I'm in, depending on the lineup. But I don't mind a cheeky England pack. That, so I'm kind of indifferent. We heard about the lineup earlier on during the day. It's hashtag leaks.
It's crazy how those leaks actually were accurate. Like usually
dead accurate.
Usually they aren't.
Yeah.
So and ain't a bit dirty. Don't you think that's a bit nasty? Like
I'm telling you right now. And I know Seb will agree with me. Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw. Fake.
Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw 100%
Luke Shaw.
I think Shaw nasty.
Is Shaw.
Shaw is Mr. Leakazoid.
Yeah. Shaw is a mole.
Sure. WikiLeaks. Why
it's so nasty though? You're giving opponents a heads up.
100.
That's nasty.
That's why leagues are nasty.
And it always happens with England. I don't get it. I don't think there's any of us, or maybe because we're not based in other countries, but generally I don't hear about leaks of other teams that from other countries.
Trust me, because you're not. It's sure, blood. If it wasn't you, sure. Come on the pod, then we could talk about it. Mugga Mondays. But yeah, so the lineup, of course, we had Pickford in goal. Meads his greatest goalkeeper. Left back Trippier, that was eyebrow number one. Walker right back, I personally think eyebrow number two. Stone centre back, obviously that goes, that's without given. Ming centre back, that's eyebrow probably number three. A midfield of Rice and Phillips, maybe an eyebrow over Phillips. Mount in mid as like the 10, no eyebrows there in my opinion. Foden on the right, Sterling on the left, that's another eyebrow, and of course skipper Harry Kane. So when you first saw the lineup, Meads, what was your initial reaction, and did it change as time went on?
When I saw Trippier at left back, I didn't quite get it. I didn't get it at all. Because I think they were playing, what's his name? What's Croatia's right, mate? What was his name? Kramaric?
Yeah.
And he's right-footed. So I was thinking maybe if it's a left-footed guy, he's coming onto his left side. Then obviously sense. Going in for Trippier on the right, it makes sense. But Kramaric was playing, I'm thinking that don't make any sense. In terms of Walker, I thought I didn't really mind. I didn't really mind. I think with all the fullbacks that we've got, bar Trippier, I think you've got James, obviously Trent, you got injured, but Walker and James, you don't, it's a toss up really because they're all quite good. You know what I mean? So
I would personally have played James, but you can't be mad. At Walker.
But why?
Can't be mad.
You know what I mean?
I think James is better.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's not that much of a gap between them for it to be a
100.
Deal,
you know what I'm saying? 100. So and obviously, it's cool. Walker's got that experience as well.
Exactly, that big tournament experience. I'm saying. So I didn't really mind that. It was the midfield, like Dekkers, yeah, I think he's all right. He's all right. I wouldn't say he's a bad player, but for international level, it's I think he's a bit pedestrian. And I think today was... did okay, but I think Phillips did a lot of the legwork in that midfield, and he was an excellent performance. It was an excellent performance from Phillips, by the way. And again, that's another player that a lot of people weren't really sure that he should be cutting it or playing for England. And he definitely silenced a few men. A lot of men in the group chat were saying he's not good enough.
Me?
You know what I'm saying? But he's a good player, man.
No.
I think he's a good player. I think especially when you see him for Leeds, you recognise how good a player he actually is.
I'm impressed with I think his defensive work is top, because it's not only that if you look at the metrics, he wins duels, he runs a lot, but first things first, his motor doesn't stop.
Mm.
And also the way Leeds play, they're 1v1. Right. So like he's not hiding behind, or a system's being kind of curated for him that kind of may kind of elevate his play more than his actual individual abilities. Like he can't hide when it comes to defensive abilities at Leeds.
Yeah, generally he's got ability. Like I think with Leeds they have like automation, so a lot of their play is like automated.
Yeah,
really. So that helps him. But for England, it's a lot less like that. But I think even today, just like some of the quality, the passing was good. I think obviously the energy, high intensity was very, very good. And his ability to make those kind of Fernandinho fouls where he just, you know, breaking up play so that the opponents can't get rhythm.
I love it.
Critical, bro. Like, honestly, to have a player like that,
you know, that's
it's a skill, bro.
It's a skill to foul a man, but not foul him enough. The referee's like, yo. Because referee never come to Phillips. Referee's like, just, oh, no.
He made like six fouls today.
Yeah.
Six or seven fouls. Elite. And they were like little nicks, and they weren't even like you said, that contentious, like, oh, that should be a yellow. No, there's like little nicks, little taps here and there to get the foul, break up play, get everyone back in position. Because there was sometimes you get caught and then he's like, oh, shit, okay, make that little foul. Boom, stop the play, get everyone back in position.
A bit of streetwise.
Yeah, good player, man.
Good hair too.
Yeah, good trim today.
Okay,
yeah.
Seb, what did you think about the team, especially in the offensive? I know your boy wasn't included. How did you feel about that? Especially the inclusion of Foden and Sterling, and without like the likes of Rashford and Sancho being left out entirely. Now, what was your thoughts on that?
For me, like, you know, it is. I've been kind of like mixed with the attacking lineup for England. But one thing I do have to say is I have to be fair in it. So in my opinion, one of Sterling and Rashford should always start.
Agreed. Yeah?
Because you need something different. But people just go on like they're just runners. No, these are runners that can also, you know, do you 1v1. And that also...
They're the only 1v1 players.
And they also have a history really? Of scoring Score goals.
Score goals, man.
That's it. So those are three, you know, attributes that you need. So for me personally, I think Rashford's better than Sterling. But I'm not mad. I'm not mad that Sterling started. I'm not angry. I don't care.
And also, Rash has been carrying an injury for most
yes,
of the season.
That's why I'm not
so
mad.
You know what I mean? Like, if Rash was playing and bopping throughout the season, then yeah, no
cool.
problem.
Yeah,
you can have a problem. But to be between them, neither of them have had good seasons.
And Sterling's more experienced.
And Sterling's more experienced. Yeah. And he's fit.
Yeah.
Rash is not.
You've got to be fair. And then when you go to, you know, the right-hand side... with Foden, where well, man, you know, it's a big game, you know, you dye your hair, but bro, you gotta turn up in it if you dye your hair,
yeah,
because that's what they say to Pogba.
If you dye your hair, you gotta turn up in it,
and obviously, he's a young lad, innit, but. He didn't really, you know, put his best foot forward today, I'd say. I was a bit surprised in Mount at 10 because I thought Grealish, after his second friendly game, I thought he'd get the nod. I thought Mount would go in midfield instead of someone like Declan Rice or whatever. But again, it worked. And I think what it is, the reason why Mount probably starts higher up is the pressing.
Yes.
Mount's got energy for days. Like, he's somebody... as well as quality, he brings a lot.
Shall I tell you what I like about Mason Mount?
Yeah.
Usually people that make the selfless runs that he does, the presses that he does, and play at that tempo, usually don't have the amount of quality that Mason Mount does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you've got somebody who's busy, appearing all over the pitch, but also has quality, I think his performance in the first 20 minutes, I think him and Sterling and Phillips were the best players on the pitch.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the game, you start to fade, but... He's had a long season, do you know what I mean? And the England play wasn't particularly that great, and it wasn't the attacking players weren't exactly getting the most of possession. Mm. So I can't blame him for that. I would start him last game.
Sure.
I can't lie. When I saw start lineup, I was seething.
Yeah.
But I think as much as I like Mount, if I was gonna play a 10, it has to be Grealish or Foden because they're the two best creators in the team.
What I would say, I wouldn't say Mount is super creative. I think what Mount does give you, not just the pressing, but I think he can provide quality to back up play.
Right.
So if you look at Foden, I think the problem with Foden, especially on the right, I don't think he was coming inside enough. I think he stayed pretty wide.
If you've watched Mason Greenwood for Man United, it was a lot of that. A few flashes of good technique. You got the nice shot to hit the post, but he was on the periphery of the game. He was irrelevant. If we're being a buck, he was irrelevant, and he didn't even try to stamp his authority.
But
on the
you
game.
Know, I don't think it wasn't. He just stayed too wide. I think if he came inside, because
there
was a good 10 minutes in the second half where he came inside and linking up with Sterling. I'm like, he went over to Sterling's side and started to link up, and he looked good. But
I promise you, Marcus Rashford is not staying. On the left-hand side, everything being on the right-hand side,
he's
and doing nothing.
He's around. Like, he's buzzing around.
Yeah, but then again, that might be stern instructions from the gaffer. We don't know.
True.
I wanted to talk a bit about, oh my God, he's just missed a sitter.
That's dreadful.
Black people can't head, they say.
That's dreadful.
I want to talk about the midfield area before we talk about Croatia and start dunking on Demi Ladipo, whatever that punk's name is. Yeah.
That Modric.
Phillips, I thought, was very impressive. And you don't know, I'm not the biggest fan. When I was looking at the team, I was like, because when I was watching the previous friendly, Phillips was playing a box-to-box role. So Ward-Prowse was playing in that game and he was dropping deep. He was the one who was receiving the ball in between the back four and trying to initiate the play. And when possession was secured in England half, you saw Phillips make a lot of runs forward. And I thought, this is a bit unnatural to Phillips. Why would you play a box-to-box midfielder? I would play Bellingham first and then Mount second in that role. However, I think today we saw it worked well because not only was Phillips actually making good runs and was pretty decent on the ball when he got it, his energy in shutting down Croatia early doors, because all Croatia's quality was in the middle third.
Yeah.
Brozovic and Kovacic and Modric, who played as a 10. But obviously, the way England were onto them, Modric's like, rah, these man get fists up midfield. Modric starts to come deep. But it still didn't even matter, because Phillips was like clamping, man. Declan Basmati Rice, I'm sorry. I don't want to be harsh. I actually like the way he comes across as a person.
It's a no for me, dog.
It's a no for me, dog. He's scared of the ball. Is the ball COVID?
It's a no for me.
Declan swears he's the Indian variant on the ball. Like, he is just not, like, and got to point. That's why they'll play a lot of them clipped balls forward to Rashford and Mounty, because he wasn't trying to show for the ball. Mm-hmm. It's like what we see United with McTominay. So Chelsea fans, Man United fans, be careful what you wish for, because Rice can't chat to Jorginho. And Declan Rice, I'm telling you, there's not too much difference between him and McTominay on the ball. McTominay's probably better.
I've always said that.
McTominay's a better footballer than Declan Rice. Declan Rice could ball win.
Yeah.
But the game passing by today, I think. But yeah. Tell me what you thought about Croatia and Declan Rice's performance.
I was just going to say, with Declan Rice, I think I wouldn't say that he's not. I think he's all right. But I just feel like for England, he doesn't show his authority like he does at West Ham. And I think that's because at West Ham, he knows he's the man there. But over here, like in England, he's like one of many. And also, I think he gets quite scared. I think he gets quite concerned. And he's very conservative on the ball.
It's a different ball game.
It's a different ball game, isn't it? And like, when you're being tasked to probe and prod as the aggressor in a set of a team,
It's different when you're playing for West Ham, when you could be all action, win the ball. That's what he's unreal.
That's what he's about.
Fantastic athletic ability. Could win aerial duels as well as ground duels. And he could eat up grass on driving. But when international balls are a lot more tactical, spaces are not as given. And you're playing against top players, even from other countries. Like, they are top players and they are well tactically drilled. And the game just literally passes him by.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, like, we've got this guy in a group chat. They call him Dems or something like that. He's an actor, I heard. Nobody really cares. He paid his bill and all that type of stuff. He was hyping Modric. So, quick background. 20 minutes, early in the game, I think somebody asked, I think it might have been Seb, how's Modric been? And I said, Modric has been meaty. Now, when he got the ball, he held it well. But, like, just holding the ball while we get it three or four times in 15 minutes doesn't mean he had no impact on the game. I said he's been meaty. And then the Croatia came into the game, Modric did a couple passes sideways and that. And Dez will start saying, oh, Modric, meaty. Look, they're getting back in the game. I personally think Phillips dunked on them, man, there.
Facts.
Talk to me about that, Seb, and Mr. Meads.
Facts. For me, I just feel like in regards to, like, Modric, because it's funny, isn't it? Like, yesterday, I tweeted, if England let a 45-year-old Modric dunk on them, I'm going to lose it.
Put another 10 on it in terms of his age.
I said I'm going to lose it if they let a 45-year-old Modric, and I got bare people quote-tweeting me, got bare people retweeting me. And I'm thinking, fam, they're saying, oh, Modric's the best midfielder in both the teams. That may be so, but I'm not saying that Modric isn't the best midfielder. I'm saying that Southgate has experience and we've played Croatia before. So tactically, there must be a way that we set up to stop Modric. Mm. Or there must be a way where now players are more switched on because they've played against him and they have that experience. So that's what I meant by, you know, if we let this 45-year-old dunk on us. And I don't think he was able to really get into the game. Of course, when the ball comes to feet, he's world-class. So he's going to be able to, you know, have a bit of quality when the ball gets to his feet. However, especially in the first 20, we kind of nullified that really, really well. And he wasn't able to boss the game. Because one thing that Luka is great at is actually bossing and dictating a whole game. He didn't do that today. And, you know, I went back and I dunked on all of the Croatian fans one by one. I added all of them one by one.
And it's funny because, as you said, like, literally, they did nothing. I think they had like a half chance when the ball bobbled. I'm not sure who it was. That skied it, they sliced it with their right foot in the second half. I think it might have been Rebic. But there was no real Croatia. Like, even when Croatia won the ball back, because they were so deep that they couldn't even go forward. So yeah. I thought England were comfortable. I think if it wasn't as hot, I think England could have really waxed these boys. Like, facts. Honestly.
Even Calvin Phillips said, oh, yeah, it's the hottest game he's ever played in. So yeah. That's an issue. Like,
you couldn't tell, boy. Calvin Lewis was all over the pitch for 8 minutes. But honestly, I think if that game was later in the tournament, I think England would have given them a 3-4 piece. Facts. So, so well done to England. Actually,
it's a good win, bro. Yeah. Like, fuck it. It's a good win.
Croatia, before we move on, who I think, I'm not sure who got man of the match, but who I think the man of the match was, Raheem Sterling. MBE, yeah, Raheem, Shaquille Sterling. Raheem. Born in Jamaica, grew up in Brent, yeah? And I remember shout on my young cousin Folabi. He always used to tell me back in the days, yo, Raheem, best player in ends. I'm telling you, he's going pro. Obviously from Brent. And to be a young boy from Brent, in the week that you got announced you're going to be an MBE, to play at Wembley and score effectively the winner for your country, number 10 shirt against Croatia.
Beautiful stuff.
And I think he played good. On the ball, composed, strong, looking to receive in tight areas.
Especially in the first half.
I thought that was a great performance. A shout out to him. Before we move on, thoughts on our skipper, Harry Kane?
Looks a bit tired.
He looks shattered. Listen. And I think he needs to buck up his ideas because we can't have another one of the ones, the World Cups. We can't.
Southgate has to be a man.
I mean,
play him again or give him instructions, because one thing is, all right, cool. Harry Kane, if you're tired, what you can do is stay within the 6-yard box. Maybe you have to switch up the personnel a bit. Maybe you have to then add the Fodens and the Grealishes and the whatever. So, they can do all that play, just outside the box.
I know it's part of his game, but he does, with the players England got, he doesn't need to.
That's what I'm saying. So
you're not playing with Hojbjerg or anything.
So I think what Southgate should do is give specific instructions to kind of limit the amount of work he's doing and just say, listen, your job here is just to finish. Don't come here and build up. We've got these ballers in this area and they're going to give the ball to you and your job is just to finish. Don't, concern yourself with all of this stuff, because, again, he just looks shattered. And I'm personally somebody that says, and I've said it previously, I don't think we have to play with Harry Kane. Yeah, it may seem absurd, but I just don't think this England team have to play with Harry Kane, because I think they have enough to play. All right, for example, if you play Marcus Rashford up front, he may not bag the goals, but I think he's got enough to stretch teams to bring more players into play. Do you know what I'm trying to say? There's a different way to play. You can play Raheem Sterling false nine or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to play with a striker. There's Calvert-Lewin.
It would have been a perfect introduction if Greenwood was fit. In my opinion, it would have been a perfect introduction. That's not to say, I don't entirely agree with you in terms of having Harry Kane. I just feel like different responsibilities need to be used. I feel like oftentimes international managers try to utilize their players the same way that they do in their clubs. And I think that you need to recognize their environment's completely different. Spurs, they have Son, who is quite a clinical finisher when he does get the opportunity. So Kane, and Spurs don't really have builders. They don't really have guys in midfield that can build. So Kane's abilities to find the passes and to find the runners in behind.
It's crucial.
I don't think Raheem Sterling is a runner in behind, though. I think Rashford is. So I get what Seb was saying in terms of one of Rashford and Sterling, but I think they're quite different. I think Sterling's more direct with the ball. He's like the one-twos type of player, whereas I think Rashford's the one on the shoulder making that last run. I understand if Rashford was playing, then yeah, Kane could drop deep or drop into the pocket and find him. But if you're playing 4-2-3-1, you've already got a man in the pocket.
Yeah.
So you've already got Mason Mount there. So why is Kane having to drop? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Kane could be a bit more disciplined. But I know it could be, as Seb could probably attest, all of us who've played football, like if you're playing up front or you have to touch the ball, you want to touch the ball.
Yeah.
And you have to be engaged. It's just mentality thing. But it's natural human. I think one thing to defend Kane a bit, I don't think we played to Kane's strength today. And I think Trippier and Walker, I think they can also draw criticism from this. Slight criticism, because I think they had decent games overall. Trippier, obviously, and it's not his fault, he's right-footed, so he wasn't going to get beyond Sterling down the left. And Walker his use of the ball was really bad for his standards, and he didn't really get in behind down the right-hand side. So I don't think there was enough crosses or good ones. The only good one came from Mason Mount. The one down the left foot cross. And then that defender made a great challenge on Harry Kane. I thought that was a definite goal.
That was Kane's one chance.
Yeah, so I think if you had Chilers there or Shaw bombing down that left, I think you'd have seen more crosses, especially Reece James's whips, or Trent, or Tiana Trent. You'll see. So I think England got to utilise Kane's strengths in the 6-yard box by putting in quality crosses as well. I'm not sure. Who have you got next?
Do we have Scotland? Let me check.
I believe it's Scotland.
Yeah, so I think I would be interested to see if Gareth refreshes the squad. I think
you'll have to.
Surely. I think, in my opinion, I would switch out Rice for Jude or maybe Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then bring in Grealish. And then I'll probably keep the team, everybody else as, oh no, no, I'll take out Trippier 100%. Oh, shout out to Tyrone Mings. I don't rate him, but he had a good game today.
Yeah, yeah. He was good.
Yeah, so, okay, cool. Before we talk about the other games, Denmark versus Finland, we saw a tragic incident with Christian Eriksen, Danish legend, former Spurs, Ajax, and current Inter Milan player, just won a Scudetto. He went down with, which everybody had their heart like in a wrench at that period of time. It's come out that he went under cardiac arrest, and thankfully, he is like seeming to be back on the mend in stable condition. I personally want to thank the doctors, just awesome professionals, Kasper Schmeichel, all the Danish players for their bravery. I don't drink wine like certain men. You know what I'm saying? Don't drink wine and be painting in that. Shout out picture and paint. Shout out the Danish players for one showing the strength and the speed of thought to protect Christian Eriksen from just ludicrous camera shots, and stopping him from swallowing his tongue. Guys, how was you lot reacting when you saw that happen?
Bro, it was proper rattling, because you couldn't believe it actually happened. I think the ball come to him? I think they threw the ball at him.
No, it come to him, and as he's dropping.
So like, it's shocking, because the way he dropped, he's like, it was a complete collapse. Yeah. And that's whenever that happens in ball, you know it's a big problem, bro. Like, you know, it's a massive.
You saw the reaction instantly.
So, and then obviously, I think, was it Casual was the closest one to him? He sprinted to him, made sure he didn't swallow his tongue to clear his passageway, and then got him in position for recovery. Like, and that pretty much could have saved his life. You know what I mean? It was so mad. But the thing that was so sickening about the whole thing was, like, obviously, ITV's coverage. Or was it BBC? BBC's coverage, they just kept the cameras on him. And people say, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's not necessarily the broadcasters, because the broadcasters aren't the one recording or have the camera shots. But in those moments, surely the broadcasters can switch to the studio. They have the vision. They've got the power to do so.
If a woman came on streaking butt naked, we wouldn't see it on TV.
Exactly.
And shout out, his name is Cassius Clay. He's a follower of mine. He says, nah, because he's Danish. He said, our cameras switched off like straight away. So
I don't understand that. I don't understand the notion to try and defend it, because it was really, really poor. But besides all that, I'm just thankful and grateful that he's alive and he's all right. Because obviously, back to the images of the cameras panning onto his girlfriend in distress. Bro, it's just, the whole thing was mental to me. Like, absolutely mental. But again, just thankful that he's all right, and he's on the mend.
Yeah, but we know what the Babylon BBC are about.
Yeah, brother, they're disgusting.
I'm sorry, people should be fired on the spot for that. Yeah. Producers, decision makers should be fired on the spot. That's despicable. This is beyond, as everyone said, this is beyond football. Like, you literally saw everybody's reaction, bro. Like, I was seeing people on Twitter talking that they were shaking up. Of course, like, that's a life. Like, especially a player that we've watched for many years, fantastic player. So, Eriksen, I'm not sure if he'll ever be able to play football again. I can't really speculate. I'm not a doctor. But a fantastic career. I was such a big fan, especially when he was at Ajax. Great player, great servant for his country. Seems like an all-round great professional and person. And I'm happy that he managed to win a Scudetto. So shout out Christian Eriksen, and prayers with him, and prayers with the Danish team. Like, I really root for them to bounce back. So obviously they lost that game 1-0. Yeah,
Bun Finland, they didn't want to let man win. Like, they didn't. Yeah, they were like,
nah. Hey, sorry, dude, but we're gonna spare you still.
Yeah, no, they're like, oh, no, surf your boy, but
yeah, we're gonna have to.
Yeah. This is just business.
Yeah, it's just business. And obviously that's like a Nordic thing, because all them men are north of the thing.
North of the border.
North of the wall. So the low key is like, they're the ops. So well done, Finland, fucking pagans. So other games. Let's start off with the Vapiano boys. Italy.
Them man set the standard.
They put Turkey
in an oven, bro.
They took they put them in a naan bread quickly, bro. Kofti in
young rap, bro. Young
they got spazzed on.
Yeah, so talk to me about Mies. Talk to me about the Italian performance.
All I got to say, it was a Jorginho masterclass. And a lot of people...
Make up your mind. Is that Jorginho or not?
Like, you know what?
Make up your mind.
You know what it is? Let me explain.
No, I'm going to let him get away with this.
I don't rate Jorginho highly. Now, I don't think he... No, in fact, I do rate Jorginho. But I don't rate him in terms of for the Prem. I think the Prem's a different kettle of fish.
I've already conceded though.
My problem was in the Prem physically, he will struggle because it's difficult.
He does.
You know what I mean? In certain instances, 1v1 when he is found 1v1, he can get pammed disgustingly. But that's not to say every player is possible to get pammed. I've seen Fernandinho, one of the best DMs ever.
Yeah, Mount gave him a little.
Yeah, gave him some business. But what I'm saying is, like, I rate him, but yeah, my biggest issue is, and the reason why I've kind of been assessing Jorginho a lot more over the last 2 years, is because people players come in, and then they're automatically better than him. And I'm like, wait, what? It don't work like that. Especially in the Prem, you need a Prem test. You can't be getting international ratings, or not even international ratings, getting foreign ratings when you've not done it in the Prem.
I actually need to give you an apology live on air.
Couple man.
Because, and I don't, unlike many of my other comrades, I actually have some form of dignity when I'm wrong. Yeah. But Jorginho's better than Rodri.
Thank you very much.
And the thing is, I've actually probably one of the least critical in the group chat of Jorginho. Because I think he's a fucking baller. I think the issue with Jorginho can be that what he does in terms of, like, he might not do enough with his passing to kind of get away with some of his performances where he's not giving as much defensively, but he's very intelligent. He actually reads the game brilliantly and he's always prepared to play. Like, he's never scared.
Yeah.
And how often has there been big games and Jorginho's come and he's jugged?
Bro.
Like, he's run, like, he wins his midfield battle more often than not.
I was going to say, like, there was a moment, a minute play where Italy weren't really retaining the ball and Turkey were trying to pop. Bro, he recovered the ball like 4 times in that minute.
Mm.
Bro, it was ridiculous. It was proper ridiculous. Like, the way he reads the game is so underrated. We talk about Kante's intelligence and, you know, his speed of thought to get the ball, but Jorginho, when it comes to recoveries, is up there with Kante as well.
If you look at the digits, it backs up as well.
Statistically, Jorginho is up there with Kante in terms of ball recoveries. Like, he's so good with it. And I think in Italy, he was playing at a number 8 role. And he just had a little bit more freedom, showed a little bit more guile and class. Like, and yeah, I think he's a good player, man. I think international football suits him for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Who else do you... how do you feel about Immobile, Insigne, and who's the other guy?
Spinola and the left back. Baller, you know. He's right. That right-footed left back. He was a baller, you know. He kept dunking. He's the one that got Immobile the goal. So the ball came to him and he volleyed it and the keeper saved it. Then Immobile tapping. But... I think Italy have got very good players. Obviously, Immobile is a goal scorer, so they've got a hitter in there. Mm. I was quite surprised that Bernadeschi didn't start. I was surprised that Berardi started.
How did my boy Chiesa do?
He came on. He was all right, but yeah. Chiesa should start. I don't understand why he's not starting. Obviously, I think Insigne is really, really good.
Yeah,
his finish was class.
He loves that finish.
Oh, that finish, that instep. Ugh, nasty.
He gave him a warning earlier. He just missed.
I think they've got the minerals and the way that they play as well.
To come in as well.
Exactly. And the way that they play, the intensity in which they play, and the way that they can retain the possession and create chances, like regular chances, high quality chances. I think they're a very dangerous team.
From I watched extended highlights, I think I couldn't catch the game, but it looked like they really put a pause on Turkey for the majority of the game. Who impressed you in that game, Seb?
Spinner Benz, my guy Spinner Beloza. he was really, really good all game. Like had Turkey on toast all game. I think he was really, really, really good. Jorginho, 100%. To be fair, I don't ever think I've ever slandered Jorginho. I don't think I've ever dogged him. Maybe like if he's been pammed in a game, I've bantered him or whatever. But I've always been a massive fan from what I can remember about Jorginho because I think he's always been quality. Even when he went through that spell when people were pamming him, when as soon as the ball got to him in a Prem, they were pressing him. Yeah, he went through that spell, yeah, but I've still remained. I still always had.
Do you know that spell, yeah? I think people need to take that to context. I don't think people are doing that because they didn't think Jorginho can handle the press. Jorginho can handle the press. Yeah. Like, Jorginho has been getting pressed. Like, he could play 1-2 touch.
Sarri was stubborn.
Yeah, I think what it was is that people clutched to stop Sarri's team. You just got to stop Jorginho. And they weren't just pressing Jorginho. They were shutting down the nearest passing angles. And Jorginho, he's not fucking...
He don't want to boot it.
Yeah, he's not going to pam it. He's not going to go long. He's not Henderson. So, yeah. And also the way... And I think the main thing with how Jorginho's right in this country is... due to the media. And because he doesn't play like Kante or play like Makalele or Declan Rice or these players who you physically see them impose their dominance, they don't think he can defend.
That's exactly
They don't think he's a defensive midfielder because they don't see slide tackles and challenges. But what they don't understand is that he screens excellently, he reads the game, he doesn't lose the ball. And because when you have him in your team, you're likely to dominate possession. And that's a fantastic form of defense. If the other team doesn't have the ball, they can't attack you.
They underrate players.
Is that Carrick?
They underrate players that don't have the physicality in DM. They expect a DM to be physically strong. Exactly. And I understand it because there are some moments where if you're left isolated, you want your DM to handle that.
100.
But you're completely ignoring what they do on the pitch. What Jorginho does on the pitch, a lot of people ignore. You know what I mean? His ability to screen, his ability to intercept and replay is second to none. A lot of the time. I think there are some games where he can have really bad games and make really bad mistakes.
But who doesn't, though?
But for the most part, he plays at a high level. Under Tuchel especially, he played at an incredibly high level for most of Tuchel's time. You know what I mean? And it's no surprise that most of our big games in the Champions League this season, we won it, he was in there.
He was integral.
So, and he had great performances, bro. So,
okay, speaking of another European giant, Belgium. So Belgium, they played. Who was it? They played again.
Russia, bro.
Yeah, played Russia.
Hand them, bro.
Yeah, a couple power powers on Putin's head top. Seb said that, by the way, Putin, if you're listening. So this was a Belgian team with Eden Hazard, who, in my opinion, has retired, hasn't told anybody else on the bench, and of course Kevin De Bruyne, he wasn't involved. I don't know why. Maybe he's
injured. Yeah.
Okay, I heard that was across the limit, so he didn't want to turn up.
Do you know what's so bad, yeah, about that? Yeah. So, who would have thought, yeah, that Thorgan would be better than Eden
at this moment? Yeah, Eden would have though. Eden said that Thorgan's better.
That's insane.
Because Eden has retired. He left Chelsea. Insane, and he said, "Yep." Eden's retired. I actually, funny enough, watched a clip of Hazard against France. Yeah. Whew. Yeah. That footballer. Anyway, one day, when he retires, I will not rest until he gets his flowers because he's one of the best players I've ever seen. Anyway, Belgium, how did you lot? What do you lot think of the Belgium performance? From what I was watching, they were really sticking it on the Russians.
I felt like Lukaku. Yeah,
it's a serious shoot.
First 25 minutes.
For wicked, like R9. Really
crazy. Like, fucking
you need to relax at R9.
No, bro. I tell you now.
I'll de-platform your launch mics. Don't piss me off.
Bro, listen.
Do you know who you're talking about?
Listen. What I'm going to say, go watch that first 25 minutes.
I was watching it.
Go watch that first. Bro, I tell you right now, the touch, the tech, the dribbling, the PMP, the step overs, pace. It wasn't the slow ones, not the lumbersome ones. He was like, go, go, go. He was like, and he's off.
Hey, them Russians did not know what was coming, man. It's crazy. Hey, listen. All them Jing chefs, Mini chefs, Putin chefs.
Bro.
Hey,
there was Lukaku. There was a moment where Lukaku held up the ball, span, and then just booted it. Like, you know, the kick and runs. And just dashed man off. And then the defender got a last minute tackle. Yeah, and then Lukaku then spins around and just found a little pass at the edge of the box.
That was nice. Because that one, I thought right foot bottom corner, which we saw towards the end of the game. But Romelu Lukaku, obviously much maligned by many fans.
Yeah.
Who, when he left Manchester United, decided to pretend to be his biggest fans to kind of banter my United fans, but it is what it is. Me personally, I am absolutely delighted he left Manchester United. For his sake as well as ours, I think it's worked out well for both parties. He looks trimmer. Inter Milan, under a fantastic coach in Conte, they play to his strengths. And Belgium have always played to his strengths. I think Lukaku's technical ability is much maligned, but I don't think it is as bad as people make out. It's just that he can sometimes have some really, really ridiculous touches. But in terms of, he's got more than enough technical ability in terms of his dribbling, his crossing, and his ball striking of both feet, emphatic, clean hits. You don't usually see Lukaku have a scruffer. It's always clean hits, and he took his goals really, really well. The first one spun, left foot.
What the first one? How wasn't that offside?
I think because a player...
Because it cleared off... I think the guy tried to make a play on the ball, and it came off him, so it came to Lukaku, who just swiveled, left foot. It wasn't the cleanest hits, but it was struck with enough power, keeper's wrong foot not getting it. And the second one, when he was through, we knew what time it was. I was expecting it to go cross goal because he usually loves a cross goal, but he slotted it in the near post.
Yeah, he saw the opening and just slotted
it. And I think Belgium, they looked really good. Carrasco played well. I think the wing backs did well. Looking at Belgium, analysis wise, Tielemans and the Donker midfield, I don't know if that's going to cut it.
I think Tielemans is fine, bro.
No, no. Tielemans is fine. The Donker, I don't know. So what I want to know is that. I think Hazard was on the bench, I'm assuming, due to fitness reasons, and KDB, of course, wasn't there. Yeah. How do you think Belgium line up with both of those players in? Do they both come in to play alongside Lukaku, or does KDB play in the foot in the two?
I think KDB probably will sit in the two, but KDB and Tielemans, I think will probably be Tielemans on the bench, and then KDB comes in and sits there. Hazard probably will be left wing for instead of his brother. And who else is there?
Mertens played.
Mertens has to play.
I honestly think that KDB and Hazard are going to play for Lukaku. And I don't think KDB should be played in the two. I don't think he'll do as well there. I think you want to have KDB occupying a similar areas that he does for Manchester City. You want him around the final third because that's when he could shoot off either foot.
So you put Mertens on the bench?
No, I might put Hazard on the bench. If he's anywhere near the Hazard we know, then Mertens going to hold bench. But if it's the Hazard that we've seen for the last year or two, then Mertens has to play. So
my thing is, though, I feel like the weight of playing for Real Madrid is not just injury. I think the weight of
it's not easy. You
know, it's not easy, bro. And I feel like the player that Hazard is, playing for Real Madrid, it's different. It's different. I feel like when you're the main man, especially when you're at Chelsea, where you had the freedom of the pitch to do what you want, it's very different. That pressure of playing with Real Madrid, I think that's probably why I don't think it might work out for him. I hope it does. You know what I mean? Because I love him, but I don't think it'll work out for him. But I think if you see him in Belgium, I think you probably see a different Hazard, in my opinion. But we'll see.
Okay, so we've seen some of the performance of the pick-up. Obviously, England beat Croatia 1-0. Italy gave Turkey a free piece, and Belgium, of course, gave Russia a free piece. How would you rank the three major nations that have played so far in terms of their performances, just simply on what they've performed and what they have to come in as a squad and that? How would you rank them so far?
Italy, Belgium, England.
I think Italy, England, Belgium. And the reason being, obviously, I know KDB's a superb player. Like Hazard, when he's fit and firing, yeah, amazing player. One of the best players I've seen. But I do think there's a thing about England that I really like in terms of their attack. Their attack is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Obviously, Harry Kane's world-class player. But then you've also got Phil Foden for me. And I rate Phil. I think Phil Foden is one of the best players around at the moment. This 100. Moment in time. And then obviously you've got Rash, who can come in.
Finally,
with a goal.
Finally. They've been missing that Dumfries has been missing so many chances.
Nothing heavy. Which would have gone? But 600 I mean, I
bags
think
at PSG or something.
I'm mad. But I just think that England have got a lot more quality than in attack. I think they've got a lot more quality.
So do I. I think
Sterling, Foden, Rashford, Grealish, Harry Kane.
Sancho
as well. Yeah.
No, sure. I think obviously in regards to if you look at overall teams, England have more quality. But what I will say is I think Lukaku might be the hardest thing to deal with in this tournament. Like, probably Mbappe because of the pace. And it's literally the pace and power that I think everybody is going to struggle with. Yeah. Every single team is going to struggle with Lukaku this tournament. So I think just because of Lukaku, that's why I kind of put them up there. And just because of that performance, I kind of put them up there. I do think England's a better team, but if we're just ranking on performance so far, then I'd say Belgium.
I can't lie. From what I've seen of Holland have been carving up Ukraine, you know.
Yeah, but them men are not really...
No, Holland. Ukraine look good, though. Ukraine, yeah. When they get in the final...
Are Ukraine much worse than Russia?
I think Ukraine are probably better than Russia.
Yeah, so do I. So, okay,
but
cool.
But Holland don't have no standout players.
No,
they
exactly.
do, bro. Oh,
what, the
fire?
Scary.
Fucking Rusclap, mate.
Yeah, 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 scary.
All right, cool. So we're going to have a short break so you can hear some words from our sponsors. And then after that, we're going to keep on talking international foosball. So I know where to edit. All right, cool. So we've been enjoying some international ball. What have you like? Have you not been enjoying the Euro so far?
It's all right. It's not one of the worst international tournaments I've watched. So it's good. I think the quality, especially Italy, I think they got me in the mood for it still. Mm. Their performance got me in the mood for it. So usually you kind of get a drab, shitty first game, like, but no, that was a good performance.
I can't lie, I'm enjoying Holland on TV right now.
Yeah, they're actually hooping still.
They're actually hooping.
There you go.
Memphis, what? Come on, give him the twos, man.
Okay.
Let's
take Calama still.
I let that one cut through still. Okay, so we've been watching some international ball. I thought we still got a lot of top players to come. So we still got Portugal, Cancelo, some news. Cancelo unfortunately got COVID. So he's been replaced by Manchester United's Diogo Dalot. I think that's a big blow to Portugal because he's really good player and he scored a fantastic goal during the week. So how do you think that will impact Portugal?
I think not that madly. Yeah, I don't think not that badly. I love Cancelo, don't get me wrong, but Cancelo's been playing left back for them, man. I don't know. He's been playing right back.
Yeah.
I think Dalot, whilst he's not as good, they're a similar kind of player in terms of profile, the way that they play. That very front foot. Dalot is very, very aggressive and the way he plays and loves to attack.
He ain't got no pace.
But he ain't got the pace like
he used to have pace until his injury.
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with him. The guy's like average paced. Like,
who's he? Was he alone?
Yeah, Milan.
AC Milan, but he was playing left back as well.
Okay.
Like, he did start right back and then I think because AC Milan's right back got injured and then, you know, you see, what a mark of a loan is like three things, isn't it? One, you go on loan and they want you straight away because you've impressed. Mm. Or they do what they've offered to Dalot, which is come back on loan with an option to buy. So it's not even a obligation, it's an option.
Like Tomori, they wanted him
straight away. So, you know, I feel like the reason why they want Dalot back because he's good cover, but I don't think they was, impressed. And if even when he played against us in the Europa League, I wasn't impressed. And I've never ever been, for the last 2 years anyway, I haven't been his biggest fan. I've seen him get dubs up bare times. Like, his highlight is his stepovers in the final third. And he's just like, and being average pace in this game is whack in that position. Average pace is whack.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen him get, yeah.
If you don't have real quality as well,
being average pace is whack, man. And yeah, it's not cutting it for me.
When Wish plays for Holland, he moves different.
He can play, bro.
Yeah, he can play. I don't know what type of
the confidence in
him. After Ramble, he plays for Liverpool.
I want to see him at PSG. I can't wait to see him at PSG.
I'm annoyed about that, man.
Get my boy
some help, man.
Oh yeah, it's true. Yeah, what, Neymar?
Yeah, and Mbappe, bro.
Mbappe and Neymar need help, yeah?
They do. They do. Verratti's always been a fucking half the time injured, mate. So we got some exciting players. So I mentioned Cancelo. Obviously, you got the likes of Ronaldo, João Felix, Bruno, Jota, all playing for Portugal. Of course, France, Benzu. Yeah. So let's speak on Benzu's and Mbappe's little, do you know what I mean? So what was it that Giroud said after France gave, I can't remember who they gave a team the business. I can't remember what team they were playing. Bulgaria.
Yeah, essentially, Giroud was complaining. Oh, what's that? 2-0, yeah?
2-0.
Yeah, 2-0. Essentially, Giroud was complaining. I think he replaced Benzema around the 30th minute. And he was complaining that he weren't getting the ball quickly enough because Mbappe and them were taking too long on the ball. And he was making the runs. And after the game, he scored 2 goals, by the way. This is all nuts. He scores 2 goals. And then, like, after he said, oh, yeah, you know, I scored 2, but I feel like I could have done more. You know, I was making the runs, but the ball wasn't coming. But it's okay. I scored the 2. That's dead. And basically, Mbappe took insult to that because he was thinking, wait, what? Hold on. You just scored your goals. Why are you sending shots? And he felt that it was directed at him. Mbappe felt that was like a direct shot. And like Mbappe wanted to do a whole press conference. He's like, oh, nah, I'm not having this. Like, who the fuck's this you? He was going to tell him about himself. And he's slightly been telling about himself on the slide, like the last couple of presses.
Mbappe needs to relax, you know what I mean? Bro, you're 19 years old or whatever you are. Like, you need to chill out, bro. Like, man's, I see a quote today, like, basically saying, like, the beef's not squashing that.
Yeah.
Bro, shut up. Like,
hey, Seb, you need to let the Rashford Mbappe thing go.
That's what he is.
Buddy, you're not that guy. He's not that guy.
He is, though.
You're not that guy.
He is that guy, though.
No, he's not.
He actually is that guy.
When it came to the most important game of the season, what did he do?
He was injured.
Okay, see?
Look, Seb.
He was injured.
Seb, relax.
See?
Not reliable. Not reliable.
What did you do in the league?
Oh, shit. It's Pete.
Come on, man.
He's got lead time.
Forget this guy, man.
This is Touchdown Frackers where we have serious analysis, so I'm going to have to debunk Seb and his fake news.
Shout out you lot.
Yeah, the crackheads. Mbappe was the best player for France in the World Cup. Scored in the World Cup final. He's led Monaco to a title. He's also been instrumental in PSG titles when Neymar gets his fucking direct debit injuries all the time. So, no. Mbappe can chat to Giroud. And Giroud, a wise man once said, talk to me nice. And Giroud needs to talk. I know Mbappe's senior, he's junior, but low-key, Mbappe's a senior, so he needs to talk to him nice. So even Pogba, that was Pogba about. Pogba's like, boy, I'm there, there's no beef. Unless I'm the police, I know what going for the man there.
I just feel like Giroud, obviously, the honorary record is like, it's ominous. It's coming. Like, you know what I mean? I think Giroud will probably break it. And I just feel like he's so desperate for this record that he's forgetting himself. And it's the same. Like, he's obviously come off for a Champions League win as well. He's just forgetting himself.
And what I think it is as well, the Benzema. Do you know?
Fan love.
I think that's what it is. But Giroud, you got to eat it. I'm sorry. So how do we feel about France's chances?
Oh, obviously, when you've got a striker like Benzema, a player like Mbappe, midfield with Kante and Pogba, that's fucking, you know what I mean? They've got a squad. Like,
Griezmann's hooping it.
They've got, yeah. Griezmann's
hooping, you know?
They've got a squad.
Seb, what? Hey, Stella Seb is pissing me off, you know?
Hold on. Griezmann's my guy.
Save this interview.
Griezmann's my guy, right?
Save this interview. Word to Revive Percy.
Listen. Griezmann's my guy, yeah, but there's so many other men.
No. When it comes to France, Griezmann is so key.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's not key, but there's so many other men that I want to wax Liverpool about over
and over. No, because you're not waxing Liverpool. You're not including Griezmann, having feel some type of way.
But I'm waxing Liverpool about the Engolos, bro.
Seb said Tolisso.
Okay, that's
enough. And Rabiot.
I said a good midfield of Tolisso.
Don't say that man before Griezmann.
So that three, those three in midfield, I can definitely respect it.
You're disgusting.
Bro, those are my three midfield.
You're so disgusting.
You know what I mean? Griezmann.
You're struggling to say Griezmann. He's like,
yeah. Those six. Do you know what I mean? They're
doing it. Pogba and Kante. Pogba and Kante, I've got 20. They started 27 games together for France. They've drawn 6, won 21. Now, when them two play, Imperius, I was watching a Bulgaria game. Pogba's doing up Harlem Globetrotters. Kante, you wouldn't even know that he's just had a long season. Tolisso looked good in a deeper role.
Yeah.
Griezmann, Benzema, and Mbappe, the link up. So they're going to be good. Speak to me about Germany.
Yeah, Germany are a funny one. You know what I mean? I think they just won the European Under-21 final. They got good players, like very good players. And obviously, my boy Killer Kai, Band of Baby 29, is local.
I can't lie.
After
that nickname is so icy.
It's so fucking, fucking cold, bro.
When you say I have to ignore you, I never respond. I got no slander for that.
It's so fucking cold. Band of Baby 29, yeah?
I forgot it existed, you know.
Listen. Kai Havertz is probably going to be flying in a warm-up games for Germany.
Because I haven't been watching Germany, innit?
Yeah.
Simply because I don't care. But tell me about how they're looking to line up, if any of you guys have been following them.
They play left back. What's his name? The one Gosens, very good player. Plays for Atalanta. Rudiger, Hummels, and I think right back might. Who's their right back? It's not Kimmich. Kimmich plays in a deeper role.
Okay, we'll come back to right back. So who's right in midfield?
I don't remember. So Kimmich.
Gundo?
Gundogan.
Does Goretzka start?
And Goretzka plays. Yeah, Goretzka, Kimmich, and Gundogan.
Hmm, that's a midfield still.
Then false nine, Kai Havertz. Right, Sane. Left, Gnabry.
Serious.
Serious team. That's a serious team.
So don't play Werner.
No.
What about Muller?
Muller plays number 10.
Oh, so they play so two.
Muller will play number 10.
So it'll probably be Kimmich and Gundo.
So yeah, so I'll play Muller on number 10 or Havertz right, Muller number 9 or false 9, Gnabry. Left
that,
wing.
That team.
Serious
serves.
Team. Woo! Serious team.
Hey, they got a couple of hoopers.
Yeah, man.
Hoopers
and obviously Muller's international record is very, very
Gundo. Gundo, my boy's gonna come and dunk in your head, cause you
who?
This, you know who? Like you ain't got Pep.
I only know one man that's dunked on Gundo, and that's a certain Angola.
Yeah, it's true. But when it comes to international ball, I can't lie, them two do their thing. So that German team is very interesting because Sane, he's got talent, but Sane is very inconsistent for me.
That's why he doesn't start all the time.
But how's Gnabry been this season? Because I haven't heard much talk about Gnabry.
Their man have been quiet about him.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm suspicious.
And you know what it is? I think because he was hitting up teams in the Champions League,
he got the juice.
Everyone gave him the status when he really.
I wasn't buying it. I like him, but I wasn't buying it.
Good player.
Hit off both feet, good finisher. I think this tournament can be a real springboard for Kai Havertz and. Yeah. If he spins a block, I'm in so much trouble because I slandered him so much.
You're in big trouble.
But I don't care.
I don't care. Your words about Kai?
I know. If he dunks to me, dunks to me. As long as he plays good football, I'll be happy. But
they've got Musiala as well as in the squad.
Yeah, the young. Oh, yeah. I heard he's a hooper.
Cold.
Okay, cool. So a topic that I wanted to talk about. Okay, I'm a liar. Mariah said I should talk about international football. How highly do we rank it compared to club football?
It's a top level because I can't remember what manager it was, but it was a respected manager basically said, you've got your league football, then you've got one level up, it's probably like Champions League, and it said two levels up from that is international football. I can't remember what manager said that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
In
terms of like entertainment value, and I actually think quality of football, I don't think nothing could touch the Champions League.
I agree, but
I think because what we do miss in that is that obviously these teams get to train multiple times a week. They play 40 to 60 games a season. But I think with international ball, first of all, you have all the best players from all over the world. The stakes are so high and the games are so tight. So if you go on YouTube and just literally Holland are fucking hooping, bro. If you go and type any World Cup and watch the best goals. Literally, to score in the World Cup is quality or somebody does a Mazin. And people don't tend to do a Mazin. And if you do one Mazin, you get dunked on. So, like, even today, look how like England plays so much better, but there wasn't even enough chances. So, like, the stakes are super high.
Phillips saw that goal was fucking sick.
Quality. Sat man down. And weight of pass, perfect. But do you know what? For that goal, what was mad?
The pass into him.
Not even that man. The whoever made the recovery tackle almost saved the goal.
He almost saved the goal.
That was unreal. He was so unlucky. He almost saved the goal. And I'm happy he didn't because if Raheem missed and England drew, they'll start making those. But yeah, so what? So you lot are in agreement that international ball. What about you, Mies? You seem to be a little not too sure about that.
For me, I don't know, bro. I honestly think it's difficult because what kind of international ball? Because I think Euros, where you get a host of teams that are generally quite decent quality wise, then you've got the World Cups where you've got a bag of teams that are kind of dead.
I remember one World Cup, North Korea, they held 7 from Brazil.
Yeah, bro, like those.
But back home, they said they were hooping back home.
Yeah, I'm saying, so those kind of ones, I don't know. For the Euros, oddly enough, actually, no. I think the World Cup is still, I'll hold that at high esteem. But when you've got teams like France, Italy, Spain, and when they're in the height of their powers, kind of better than the Brazils and Argentinas, you know what I mean? They're kind of better. So when they are better, you kind of prefer watching them not play.
I think with the South American teams, they haven't been lit for a minute.
For a minute, bro.
I think, well, Brazil haven't been lit for a minute. Argentina have had the players, they just can't put it together.
Yeah.
But yeah, ever since Ronaldinho,
Ronaldo. After Ronaldinho scored that free kick.
That's it.
God said, all right, cool, yeah, you man done
What, them man haven't done nothing, bro.
I was in primary school, since 2002.
I remember that.
Since 2002, bro. They've not done nothing, you know?
2006 was... no, they didn't do one.
They went to the,
Zidane
dunked them on them.
Yeah, but that performance was actually better rated if you watch it.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
But yeah, Zidane done them, and you had an overweight Ronaldo, Ronaldinho on ketamine, and they didn't make most of that. I remember like the senior Robinho, they're like the young bloods coming through, they didn't play them, they played the old ones. 2010, obviously that was in Brazil. Neymar was fucking hooping and he got injured. I'm not sure if that would have stopped that pack that Germany was loaded on them.
But I remember that game. I think some guy called Tim Vickery was getting on to Thiago Silva for that loss. He didn't play the game, bro. I remember that game because it was, what's his name? David Luiz was captain that game.
Yeah.
And he lost his head.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Because that tournament, he was cold. David Luiz and Thiago Silva in that tournament were amazing until that game when Thiago Silva...
I legit thought that Brazil were going to win the World Cup because they were solid defensively and Neymar just...
He
was moving so scary. Yeah. That tournament was sick. James Rodriguez and Cuadrado were...
Doing a mad.
I remember 2006, that's... I remember that World Cup is because Raquel May was hooping.
Maxi Rodriguez.
Yeah, remember that goal?
The goal, left peg. The quality of goals in the World Cup 2006.
Lam did a mad thing.
Bear Man was just doing.
I remember even.
What's his name?
Joe Cole did a mad thing that tournament.
That was Euros.
No, that was World Cup, no?
Was it?
I'm pretty sure that was World Cup. I think that was the same tournament. Wasn't that against Sweden in the groups?
2010.
It might be, no, 2006.
I think it might have been Euros, bro. Actually, it might have been World Cup.
No, because we missed Euro 2008. Because of McLaren, because Modric came and dunked on us at Wembley.
And they
called McLaren the Wally Vabroli.
I can't remember.
That's what we call motherfucking Bug.
But yeah, I'm just thinking. Yeah, I think in that tournament, they were really, really good. Thiago Silva and Luiz, but obviously they got absolutely spazzed. Luiz got absolutely spazzed in that 7-1. 7-1?
Yes, 7-1, yeah. Oscar's got a solitary goal. Yeah. And obviously, I really enjoyed the World Cup in 2018 because VAR, you got hella pens. I remember Cruz Day, bare pens. I remember
Panama, innit? It was Panama.
Yeah.
Gripping onto Kane and that.
I remember Putin had... VAR on ropes, bruv, because the way they were blessed Russia with penalties was crazy. Yeah, and then obviously I remember us watching Argentina versus France and Mobs. And then when Mbappe was going off, that was a great tournament. All right, cool. So to round up, Touchdown Frackers can never be Touchdown Frackers about transfer news. So I'll start off with you, Seb. You're one of the key members, if not the member, of Mugga, of the Mugga Mafia. I'll give you the accolade for today only. So United have been heavily linked with Jadon Sancho. So what can you update the people with that?
It's solely on United. Like, if today United structured a deal properly for Dortmund, then the deal's done. Everything is literally done. But the money for Dortmund, innit? But do you know what I mean? The thing is, I hear United, innit? Like, I think Dortmund want straight up peace, boom, 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 pay the 90 million euros in a shorter term or whatever. But United are a business. Like, United run like a business. They don't run like an owner-founded club, do you know what I'm trying to say? So, because we're so high in revenue, what we want to do is structure a deal where we're paying it off via our revenue so we can pay 100 million, we can pay 150 million, but we want to do it like a business. Mm. We don't want to do it like up front. Do you know what I'm trying to say? That's like, we hate doing deals like that. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah, we got bullies and stuff for Harry Maguire.
Exactly. And we like absolutely hate doing deals like that. So that's how United are trying to structure it. They're not far off though. So I'll be very, very, it'll be weird if it doesn't happen because it's literally 15 million off.
Yeah.
Now.
I was going to say, why?
No, it's less than it's 10 million euros.
Yeah. But why? No, it was 11.
10 million euros.
Pounds. Okay, cool.
10 million euros.
Check. But why don't, if United do prefer structuring deals that way, why don't United just pay over the odds and then get it structured over a number of years?
I think from what I've read, it seems like Dortmund are susceptible to what United are proposing. Mm. So I think it's just like literally is in the final, from what Sky Germany say is imminent, like the people that we know say, yeah, is as good as done. So I think, and the thing is, anything happened to Manchester United, I'm telling you. We had Mikel, we signed him, anything and he ended up at Chelsea. Yeah. So anything can happen with Manchester United, but I think it's just a matter of just like the final details of deal. Do you know when two men are like ready there, do you know what I mean? Do you know that? Like,
yeah.
When like, do you know when like when you and the babe, like you're close to securing a deal, do you know what I mean? It's just, okay, cool. What, Madison's? Oh, I don't really know about Madison's. How about Radio Rooftop? Oh, Jimbo. It's one of them vibes, like, it sees mad close, and the date now's about to be patterned, and you know, like, okay, cool. The Uber's going to be ready for after the trip, and then everything's going to be, oh my lord! What a goal! Is that Yarmolenko?
Yarmolenko, isn't it?
Hey.
Yeah. Is that Yarmolenko? Hey. That's Rascot heritage, man.
That's Rascot heritage still.
He's like, get off me, bro. This is what a Rascot do.
That's left peg heritage still.
Jesus Christ.
That's a nuts goal.
Sorry, people. Yarmolenko just did an absolute mad thing.
Yeah, but that's...
Shevchenko is...
That's the thing, though.
Is raising a glass of Scott somewhere.
But this is the thing, though. That's trademark.
Yeah, that is.
What I mean, in not in like club football, but I say for international football, that's his trademark, bro.
Look at that.
What a finish. Shoot. That's unsavable.
Yeah, because he actually dipped over the keeper. Yeah, he's got no chance.
That's unsavable still.
And remember what we said about international ball? You just see the goals are just quality.
Yeah.
The goals are just quality. Great. Yeah. Okay, great goal. Mr. Meads, so you're very plugged in to what's going on the streets of West London.
Nothing, have you?
I'm seeing some talk that. I can't lie. It's not making me... I'm not best pleased with this talk. I'm not best pleased. I was very happy with your Werner deal. The Ziyech deal. That's more like my street. This Haaland talk, I'm hearing Don Roman's like, listen, I just liquidated all my crypto.
Let me know the price.
Let me know the price. So saying, talk to me about the latest with what's Chelsea's pursuit for Haaland. And it seems that fresh off that UEFA Champions League, Roman's like, do you know what, Tuchel? Yeah, here's the parcel for the Monzo. Do you know what's like? Just do as you please. Like, do as you please. So what are the particulars in terms of the numbers and how likely do you think it is to happen?
So the talks are essentially when they linked up the first time. I think they met over Zoom. So they did the whole interview thing via Zoom and stuff, and did telephone conversations. And essentially, what was told was that if Tuchel gets Chelsea in the Champions League and like gets us top four, he's going to do a mad thing. So the fact that we've won the Champions League and got top four has basically been told that a madness is going to happen. Bro.
Mm.
So, look, Haaland, obviously from what we've been, what's been on, obviously on the news, that Haaland's interested in our situation still.
It seems that way.
Very interested in our situation, whether it's this season or next season. Obviously, you'd ideally want to get it done now because next season you're going to have a bit more competition.
Rat race.
But that being said, I'm not really too scared about anyone now next season because we've got the money, like, and we can blow most teams out of the water when it comes to.
Yeah, I think when it comes to money, I think only one team I think compete with you, and that's Man United. I think City got the money. They don't seem about it. Yeah, don't really about it because first of all, the players that cost that amount of money, they're going to tell Pep to suck his mum, and Pep's a control freak.
Yeah.
So, oh, that was a nice flick. PSG, they haven't splashed money for such a long time, but from what I've read, nothing gives me any indication that Haaland isn't bang on Chelsea. Yeah. And I can't lie, as much as I despise you, everything you stand for, your happiness when it comes to Chelsea, just the look on them's face if Haaland comes to Chelsea will be fucking worth it.
Delicioso.
I actually want Haaland. And also, be sick. Haaland's in the Prem. Do you know what I mean? And we'll see if he's better than my boy Mason. But I didn't say that. That's what Seb said. and another person linked with Chelsea, and this news really, really pissed me off.
Young Ashraf.
Ashraf Hakimi. Fresh off a Scudetto for Inter Milan. What country does he play for?
Morocco.
Right wing back or right back.
Sorry,
left wing back.
Quickly. Oh, actually, no, no,
no. No, go on.
No, it's Corsica.
No, go on.
No, it's not Morocco, it's Corsica.
Who is it?
No, I was going to talk about, because their man are playing, what, Tunisia and that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hannibal is doing a madness.
Oh, I was going to talk about Hannibal.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a second.
So, Me, so talk to me. So what's the numbers like for Hakimi?
Hakimi, what? I think we matched PSG's offer, which is 60 million euros.
Oh my lord!
2-2.
2-2.
What?
Yarmolenko, like this game.
It's heritage.
They should be like 5-0 up.
Yo.
What's his name?
Fucking hell. Orange. This is crazy.
Well, those are your boys, innit?
Oh, this is a mess. What?
You should be mad up. So sorry, people, we're watching this live and with 12 minutes to go. They've made it 2-2. Let's see if there's a young VAR for us. No VAR.
He's on.
No VAR.
He's on. What a goal.
What a header. That's so that poor.
That's insane.
Nathan Ake kills me. Two
and
goals.
And you know what it is? Yeah, he just come on.
Two goals, yeah. And it's not his fault.
It's not.
Look, he's pointed at other people.
I blame Ake for that, man.
That's a mess. But yeah, so it's looking at 60 million. We've matched PSG's offer. I think he'd be down to come to the Prem. Why not? Come European Champions, cuz. Fuck, man. Come in jail, man. I can't eat with Tuchel, cuz. But cuz, obviously.
Honestly, I'll pay that.
Come on, man.
No,
I feel
you
like.
You know, Inter owes 45 million.
Yeah. They missed the Lukaku.
Hey,
payment.
Yo.
Inter owes 45 million.
Who's it? Is it Arnold?
Yeah, bro.
Hey, say listen, we'll give you. Hey, scratch that off, bro. Rip up the papers. We'll give 50 million on top. Even 25 for taking Sanchez off us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Nothing heavy, bro.
Send Escobar back to Crystal Palace.
Hakimi will be a great signing, though, man. Really, really good. Like, he's a super attacker. I wouldn't say balanced, because I think defensively he can be got at, but. He's got super PNP, bro.
But who can't be got at these days?
That's what I'm saying. Like
I've seen
the advantage is in the attack.
I've seen Rhys James being put in a blender. I've seen Walker put in a blender. Wan-Bissaka is a lot less rare, but what you have to do is you don't have to beat him. Just running behind him, you'll let you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, who cares, bro? Like when your team that has like Chelsea that has a lot of the ball in the final third, Hakimi is literally a game breaker.
Yeah.
That guy is insane. Madrid were insane to sell him.
Yeah, this is why. With Rhys James like, playing at wing back, you not know. I don't like him as a wing back.
I've been
saying that he should be a right centre back, like because he's comfortable there, and it's almost like a right back kind of positions.
Yeah, and also with right centre back, sometimes you get put 1v1 in the channels, and he'll be more comfortable
exactly.
there than maybe a Christiansen or a Rudiger or something
exactly.
else like that.
So I'd prefer him there. Hakimi as a wing back would be awesome, but obviously with Tuchel, I think he played the 3-4-3. Because that gives you the most solidity when it comes in, especially when it's a new situation where he's not had preseason to work on it with the players. I think Hakimi will be a great signing, man, especially for what we want to do, what we're trying to do. I think we're trying to go back to back. Obviously, the money that we're trying to splash.
Yeah.
Again, for Haaland, yeah, we're trying to go back to back, man. And obviously.
Yeah, Chelsea. And, I heard that the last one on Chelsea, Ziyech is rumoured to be linked with a move away.
Mm hmm.
Who's he linked with the moves to?
Apparently, Serie A. So a couple of clubs in Serie A.
I think he'll sit Serie A.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think with Ziyech, I think he's a very good player. Very, very good player. I feel like the way that we try and play now under Tuchel
doesn't suit him.
Doesn't suit the type of player he is. I think under Frank Lampard, where he got the license to
he's a maverick,
come
isn't
inside, it? Yeah, the license to come inside and do damage or do those inverted crosses. Like he had that freedom, but under Tuchel, we're not really playing like that. So it makes a lot his utility a lot less just a lot less viable. So I think it makes sense for him to be on the transfer list.
Actually, the final one, your boy, Callum Hudson-Odoi, he's been linked with Bayern Munich.
Of course.
I want you to give how likely do you think he is to move on, and what would you like for him as a big fan of his talent?
I don't think he doesn't want to move on because he thinks that he's going to be given an opportunity to play under Tuchel. And I think something's really happened in regards to their, not relationship, but I feel like basically Hudson was playing right wing back this advanced right midfielder, right wing back position for I think about 4 or 5 games. He played it in a row under Tuchel. Done really well there. But I think that what occurs that Hudson probably said to him, you know, I don't really want to play here anymore. Like, I want to play, I think, my best position. And I think Tuchel actually admitted in a press conference, he said that Callum believes that his best position is actually further up the pitch. And I think that maybe what he was saying, or maybe the issue was that this season, it might have been very difficult for him to be used in those areas because he's got so many guys. So I think maybe the idea is that Hudson probably will stay. And, you know, be given an opportunity to play under Tuchel next season, My thing is, though, and maybe with the fact that Ziyech is being linked with a move away, as in he's been transfer listed, maybe it's an indication that he might be given an opportunity. But for me,
by virtual, he moves up the pecking right, order.
But for me, I still think he's our best winger. But for me, I think that if Bayern Munich have come calling for you four times, they want you. Yeah. And if you, I think you should go to a team that will play for a side that really wants you.
You might be able to put Sané and them in the pack.
Exactly. And if and because they've been chasing you for so long, and they've admitted numerous times that he's their main target, he's been their main target for time, I think if you go there, you know that you're guaranteed significant minutes at least.
The fact that they've chased him three to four times, that shows that on their metrics and on tape, they see something that they can use. And
yeah,
looking at Hudson's skill set, I can definitely see him going to Germany and doing the madness, and then that will literally put him right in the England mix because he's got the platform playing at the highest level.
Yeah, and even but that's the thing. Like he, funny enough, with Hudson-Odoi, goal!
Oh,
there is a goal. Is that which again?
Is that Dumfries?
No, Dumfries.
He's about time. Yeah. This is a bad boy game.
Yeah, with Hudson, I feel Hudson actually got his first England call out before he played for Chelsea. Before he got his first start at Chelsea, he played for... So Southgate has always had him in his thoughts. It's just that he's not played enough games.
Yeah, and there's too many juggers right now.
And there's too many guys. There's too many guys at the moment in time that are actually playing well. Foden's obviously came. Okay, Foden's come. Sancho's come. Rashford's there. Greenwood's there. Obviously, even Grealish.
Grealish is a new thing.
Hudson got a call-up before Grealish did.
Yep.
So, like, these things happen. So, it's... Oh, was that Ake with the assist? It's a bit sticky for you, man. Anyway, but that's a great header.
It's 2-1 to me.
But yeah, essentially, Hudson, I feel like for his career, this season is vital that he finds somewhere where he's playing regularly. Because I for him, he's 20 now, turning 21 in November. He's still young, don't get twisted. He's still young, but I think this is a critical year for him to be playing regularly and getting a platform to showcase what he can do.
Man, he's turned 20. He's supposed to be in the game for a minute. Okay, Seb. I've known you for a long time, and I'd like to say you're one of the most objective, honest, no agenda driven people. So, because you're a man of honor, they call you the Oracle, entrepreneur, young Elon Musk.
Facts.
I would like to speak to you about Arsenal's transfer dealings. Oh, so, wicked. I think you're the right person to provide an honest and objective and unbiased view. Mm. So, three items I'd like you to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Granit Xhaka's imminent move to Roma for about 22 million euros. Arsenal losing out to Buendia, who went to Aston Villa. There's been a debate in our chat where we believe that Buendia effectively turned down Arsenal because if there's only a couple million euros in the transfer, if Buendia was hell-bent on going to Arsenal, he'll just say, I'm not signing this contract, Villa. Like, I want to go to Arsenal. So let me know if you think that the likes of me, Mies and Anton and Leroy are wrong. And finally, Ben White for 40 to 50 million euros and what that means for the Mbappe of centre-backs.
Boy, it seems like it's going to be a dub for me, boy, if Ben White goes to Arsenal. Because I told them, they kept on telling me about this Saliba thing. And I said, they're like Mbappe. You know what's fucked? Is at the start of the season, when they updating us with Saliba stats,
yeah,
they were showing us the Opta thing and whatever. It's like, oh yeah, he got a 7.8 this game, and they sending us an article. Yep, Saliba man of the match. Da 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 da. We ain't seen that for time. So, you know, it's looking like
they were hyping. Oh, he's in a running for centre backs of.
There's 20 of them.
There's like 55 man. There's
half the league's centre backs, bro.
Fam, all of the league's centre backs were in the running, and they're saying, yeah, like he's in the running. Fam, it's just, you know, obviously Donnarumma was the guy last season two seasons ago that they were hyping up. Nah, Edu.
You know what that sound is? That's the sound of a different knock.
Different knock.
It's that's the sound of a different knock.
It's definitely different, yeah. But I don't know in what way. Do you know what I'm trying to say? The Buendia thing is a madness because, you know, when I saw, I posted it in the chat, and nobody really said anything, innit? Like, you know the Touchy Gooners guys, yeah, I think they've had a meeting between them, so they say, listen, we don't react in the main touchline
there's
chat.
Such little tarts, man. Chat, Leroy, Salon.
That's what they do, 100%.
Olo,
because even with the Ben White thing, nobody said nothing.
Nobody said a word.
But then I see Shabs tweeting that the touchy Gooners chat is having off. A meltdown. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, the Buendia thing, he's obviously picked Villa over them. He probably thinks they're a more exciting project. And I potentially agree with him. Like, what's the allure of going to Arsenal? Yeah.
Selfridges,
London or whatever. But like, Villa look like they're on an upward trajectory. And Arsenal, I don't know what they're doing. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And on top of that, he may not like the way Arteta plays. Like, the coach is
obviously a big... Do you know what I think about the Ben Deer thing? I think, yeah, he did turn him down. And don't get twisted, I think Arsenal are probably still a decent enough place to go and play. But I think he's thinking long term. Ben Deer is what, 24, 25? I think he's thinking, I could do a couple years at Villa.
And
I can dip out. If I show my level, I can dip out. And obviously, if he did the same at Arsenal, yeah, he could show his level, but...
Dip out would be harder.
It's a lot harder. You don't think that he's going to stay at these clubs for the rest of his career. You know what I mean? And if he does, yeah, so be it. But I think if he shows his level and believes in his talent, which I think he does, I think he knows that...
He's talked to us about Buendia, because you've been...
He's a good player, man.
You're like first on the scene when it comes to Buendia.
Yeah, Buendia's a proper player. I think like a lot of people don't actually see the qualities that he brings, but for Norwich, in the Premier League, season before he came, the first time, bro, proper playmaker. Proper playmaker. And he also had goals in him, but in the Premier, I don't think he weren't really scoring that many goals.
They were too busy getting smacked, but yeah, he was every metric that I saw that looked at creative players, he was always in the top 5, 10.
Yeah, dribbling, crossing, final third passes, through balls. Yeah, he got it all, bro. Got it all. Both foot as well, both footed. So yeah, quality player.
Okay, lads, so before we round up, like, let's talk about Ben White. So what do you think of that? Like, first of all, how highly do you rate him? Do you think it's wise for Arsenal to invest 40 to 50... an innovation up by Memphis. Great trim, great performance. No, he played good. Don't be stupid. Come on, right. Skin fading a rust cut beard. Are you mad? how highly do you rate Ben White? And do you think 40, 50 million is value for him in the current market?
So I'll start
with
Ben White's average. Simple as that.
Oh, well.
Ben White's decent. He's decent.
Yeah, decent and average, the same thing, innit? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's not exceptionally good or whatever. What is his average? And he's young and he's British. So that's why they're
what's his best qualities?
His ability on the ball. He can read the play.
On the ball is probably the best quality.
Nah, he can read the ball. He can read the play well.
Okay.
He didn't read the play well when Rashford dunked on him, bro.
Yeah, he got spammed. Yeah,
where's Rashford?
You know what I mean?
I've got another question. What to lose? Do you think 40 million is overpriced?
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. 100.
And I was going to ask you another question. So Arsenal are going to lose David Luiz. So do you think Ben White has an upgrade on David Luiz?
No chance.
Even this current David Luiz?
Nah. Not for me.
What about... okay, actually, the final news. I'm hearing your boy, Seb Neves, is rumoured to... be replacing Xhaka. A lot of the Tochi Guna boys are not too happy about that.
Because they don't watch football.
And I think they prefer Bissouma.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, if it's a straight between them two, then yeah, I'll take Bissouma or whatever. Like, the thing is, what they have to understand, and I was having this disagreement with Dems, actually proved it to Dems if he actually went and looked at the stuff that I sent him, that the position that he plays for Wolves in the Prem... is a different position that he's been playing, that he played for Porto and that he grew up in. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he plays a way different role. So for me, I feel like his best qualities are not able to shine. Like, I called him like a baby Xabi Alonso. You know what I mean? Like, I generally feel like, especially tackling, then was like, oh, he doesn't tackle. I said, fam, all he done was tackle. Like, all he done was tackle. Like, that... I don't know what Wolves, I don't know what Nuno's been on or whatever, but when they switched up, when he came in the Prem, he's looked like a totally different player. Like, they more made him into like a box-to-box, trying to get long ranges and stuff like that from outside our box and whatever. But really and truly, he, for me, should be a deep-line playmaker. And it just depends on where they play him for them to reap the benefits. Because if they're going to try to do this box-to-box thing, they're going to be open. They're going to get slashed.
So do you think 35 million for him is good value?
Yeah, it's good value, but if you play him in his proper position.
So you think him go deep and Partey more box to box? I think that's going to be fun?
Yeah, that's sick. If him and Partey together on a double pivot is absolutely insane, in my opinion.
What do you think of Ruben Neves' needs?
I like him. I think he's a good player. Slightly limited, and I think that's the problem with him. And I think that's the problem with a lot of people. players of his ilk is that they're somewhat limited and they somewhat can get got at. But no doubt in his passing ability, he's got good quality. But I think he's a bit hit and miss and sometime-ish. So perfect to go to Arsenal for me.
Okay, and, cool. I love it. Well, listeners, let us know what you think of the Ben White transfer. Drop a hashtag. Let us know what you think of Ruben Neves. Who would you want in DM for Arsenal? Chelsea fans, let us know what you think of Hakimi or who you should go for. United fans, let us know what you think about Sancho. Of course, comment on the England games, the Europe, just the Euros in general. Subscribe to the YouTube. Fanslide, make sure you download Fanslide. Get on the Discord live. Until next week, peace.
Bless up. Yeah. Sports Social Podcast Network.